On behalf of the IBM Same Time team, I'd like to welcome you to today's IBM Support Open Mic webcast. Our open mics are designed to address specific topics and provide a technical exchange in an online webcast format. Jeff Miller, Same Time L3 team lead, has a presentation and demo today on the IBM Serviceability tool for Same Time. And when he's finished, you'll be given an opportunity to ask questions over the phone to the several technical experts we have on hand today. In addition to this phone call, we'll be sharing a slide presentation using IBM Smart Cloud Meetings. And with that, we're ready to begin the presentation portion of the hour. Jeff, whenever you're ready.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Jeff Miller, and I'll be leading today's presentation on the IBM Serviceability tool for Same Time. Some of you may have attended some of our previous presentations on the configuration validation and various forms of the serviceability tool in the past. This is the newest version. In fact, you're going to get a sneak peek of the version that's going to be available later this week today, as I'm going to be demoing with it later in this presentation. So let us get started. We're going to first talk about Greenhouse Community and the download for serviceability tool. Then we're going to go over the features and feature updates that are coming, and then we're going to jump into a demo. So there is a Greenhouse Community called IBM Serviceability Tool for Same Time, and when you download the slides, these links are active, so you'll be able to click and go to those directly to access the Greenhouse Community or download the installation files that are necessary. On the Greenhouse Community, we have support forums, and while we do not offer formal support for the tool, we do try to monitor these forums and keep track of any issues that come in from customers and try to respond in a timely fashion. There are three sets of files that are available for download. There is a manual installation, which is the install guide to walk you right through being able to install the tool. Then there's the install binary. And I'll also be demoing in a few minutes how to actually, as we've encountered some customers who are trying to run the tool in a lab or area that does not have access to the Internet and to access Greenhouse in order to get the updates for the tool. So we've actually created an update site that can be downloaded and so that you can update your tool behind a firewall wherever necessary. We also take suggestions for enhancement requests, and we have a blog there for updates on the tool as well. I'm going to quickly kind of cover the features here. I don't want to spend a lot of time discussing them. I want to show them to you here in a few minutes in the demo. But two of the largest portions of the tool, and these are the two areas we're going to demo today, are on the configuration validation and diagnostics with the diagnostics analysis features that we have in place. We take in various configuration sources from Domino databases, such as NamesNSF, the Directory Assistance Database, and if you're on a Same Time Community server, the stconfig.nsf as well. We take in WebSphere configuration backups for configuration information, and we can pull directly from the Same Time System Console. We use that information in our configuration validation, and I'll be showing you how in a few minutes within the demo. But that allows us to get a good information about your environment and when we run the validation routines. Those validation routines cover many different areas from media, gateway, community, proxy, meetings, and media twice. So we cover those servers. We are continually adding new validation routines in and enhancing that. We also run validation routines directly to the LDAP routines. We check some of the LDAP settings that are within your configuration information, validate that against a live LDAP server if you have added the LDAP server into your Same Time workspace. We also check various settings on WebSphere, and there are other things like SSO, the LDAP configuration we check. There's a number of areas that we check within validation routines. When this occurs, there are two reports that are generated, an environment summary and a validation report. The environment summary is just that. It's a summary of your environment. It's the information that is important to Same Time for reviewing your environment and understanding how you've deployed your environment. The validation report is a quick review of your configuration, all the different validation areas that we test for are documented in the validation report. And what we do is we have four levels. There's the level where you get a nice little green check mark that says, hey, perfect, this is what we expected, this is what we like to see. This area passed its validation report, very good. Then there's a nice little I sign for informational, just basically saying, hey, you have this set, you have this configuration setting set to this. We just want to make sure you're aware of that setting. There's no problem with it, but we want you to make sure that you're aware that this is configured this way. Then we have a warning symbol. The warning symbol basically says, I was not able to adequately validate this myself. We believe you need to do a manual validation and point you to configuration setting. And we say, please validate this yourself manually and make sure that you do want to have this configured the way you do. We're not saying it's wrong, but it's outside of the scope of what we're able to test for. And we do flag that so that you can check that yourself. And then finally, there's the last one, the one you do not want to see, which is the one that says, this is wrong. This configuration setting is wrong, and you need to pay attention to it. Now, within our diagnostics capabilities, we have log viewing. We can support multi-gigabyte logs if needed. Hopefully, that's not needed very often, but we do have the capability of that. And we have log filtering for being able to view those logs. You won't be using that too much. That's more for when we use the tool to view your logs. But what we do have is log analysis. We have pattern matching. This is a tool that we use, and we have over 100-plus patterns down it. And these are things that we look for in the log files to flag. And when we flag that, we try to provide more information to you so that you know how to properly handle that what we found in the log. We have an error and warning summary. Summarizes what all the errors and warnings in there. This is a nice little log for us, for you to be able to provide to us, so we can review and determine quicker what kind of problems you're seeing and how best to handle those. And we do a lot of charting. If you're interested in seeing what your chat latency times are, resolve times are, those diagnostics are enabled, we can take that information from the log files and we create some nice little charts so that we can actually follow that. WebSphere CPU starvation messages, resolve times, chat logging, chat latency, are just a few of the areas that we chart out and provide information on. Okay, we have some additional features here. Now, I'm not going to be going over these specific features very much in the demo. We actually are hoping to put together some videos that we're going to put up on the Greenhouse community over the next month or two, further detailing these specific areas. But we do have a same-time support bot. This is a chat bot that you can customize for providing troubleshooting or problem reporting to your users over same time. We have a same-time community statistics monitoring. This only shows live statistics from one or more community servers if you configure the tool to be able to display those statistics. We have a same-time environment monitoring. This shows you if the servers are up, if we were able to ping the server, and in some cases we do a little bit of advanced checking on those. That is an area that probably is going to be getting more attention from us in the future, but it is available to you now. With same-time 9, the same-time community server, has started generating CSV files in the trace folder. These CSV files provide additional information on various statistics and actions coming from the community server. We have a tool that can take that CSV file and chart it for you and chart out the various sections in there. We also have a tool called the Network Mapping Tool. This is typically used when we're on site or if you're having network issues. We might ask you to run this tool to map out your networking so that we're able to properly understand how the network, how your different servers may interconnect, and how if you're particularly having a client issue getting to a server, this can help us understand what's between you and the server. And this has been a very helpful tool in many instances. Now, today I'm going to be demoing for you a release that is going to be coming out this week. The plan is to have this released and available to you by Friday. We have a new release. We've added 27 almost 28,000 message codes. These are error codes that are, can appear in the log files from DB2, SQL, SameTime, and WebSeer. And we have, when those appear and we display that information to you, when it is available, it's not always available, but when it is, we provide links back to additional information on those error codes that can direct you how to best handle those error codes. We try to provide you as much information directly within our messages as we can, but we do provide this link back to tech notes and other documentation that is available to you for further analyzing those message codes. And the hope is to actually for you to be able to see that, oh, I need to go correct this setting, or I may need to do this to prevent a PMR needing to be created. You will also see a new tool called the Quick Tool. This allows drag-and-drop log analysis, log viewing, and WebSeer configuration analysis by just dragging a file over. It's kind of a quick step instead of having to attach a file into a server within the workspace. You can do this here very quickly for these very specific actions. And you'll probably see new tools coming into the Quick Tool over the next year or two as we continue to add new features in. We have enhanced pattern matching. We have added some new same-time patterns, and we've added the message code identification. So within the pattern matching is another area where we can, those 28,000 messages we have added may appear and provide additional information to you. We've also added two new kinds of logs when we do a log analysis. One is a WebSeer analysis, and as we are continuing to expand on the tool, we are also, you know, we're not just looking at SameTime, but because SameTime runs on WebSeer, we are also adding new pieces in for WebSeer. And we also have the messages report. This is a report that scans your logs, and all the messages we find, we actually output and provide that into one simple file for you to quickly review, and with any actionable items that we may be able to report to you. Again, this I'm going to be demoing this version today, and we are expecting to have this available on Friday of this week. Quick, what we're expecting to be doing in the future, same time 9, Video MCU and Video Manager support is something that we will be expanding on. It's one of the high areas that we're targeting for the next in the next few weeks to make some much improved enhancements in with the configuration validation, and we're going to be trying to make that available as soon as possible within the next few weeks. We're going to be continually adding patterns. We're going to be making patterns, and our goal is to be making an update on the tool at least once a month, and with additional patterns and new validation routines added in monthly. Gateway, proxy, and advanced validation is another area we're going to be looking at. We're going to be trying to add new things into it as we are able. We are working with our dev teams and going to be hopefully expanding those areas for further validation above what we have now. And we are hoping to create a new editor so that you can actually create validation routines easily and add to the tool. Maybe you want to make sure that all of your LDAP settings are a very specific setting. Well, you will be able to go in and add in a validation routine. That will probably be coming first part of next year, as I will take additional development effort, and we have these others that are we consider far more important to get to first. The support bot, we are actually planning to create a troubleshooting and problem reporting editor to make that easier for you to modify and adjust and customize to your users and to your user base so that you can get the reports from your users using that support bot easier if you wish to use it. And we are continually making updates for log analysis, and WebSeer and the messages reports will be two areas we will be expanding upon with each release. Yeah, I'm going to stop a moment. If there's any questions, I would like to, on what I've covered so far, before I start the demo, please welcome them.
Our first question today comes from Robert. Your line is open.
Yeah, I was just wondering if this is something that can be used with the IBM support tool, the application that already exists, or if it's a separate application.
This is a separate application. It's a very simple download to install it. It is an Eclipse RCP application. We have one install, and once you install it, you will not need to do another install. It will update either directly from the Greenhouse community into the tool, or if you're behind a firewall where you're not able to access that, you will need to download the update site. You know, I'm going to be demonstrating how simple that is here in a minute to update the tool. It's not a server piece. It runs. I will show you there are some tricks and things we can do to help you integrate it further with your server environment. But it's a very simple tool. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Our next question today comes from Dixon. Your line is open.
Hello. Hello, this is Dixon. Hi. Can I, because we're fairly new to the Same Time 3 and we're trying to implement Same Time on our mobile devices. And I was doing some research, and we have to install a web spear in our environment and a proxy server. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. You'll need a Same Time system console, a community server, proxy server, and then from there you'll be able to enable your mobile clients.
So you say Same Time server console, and then what else again?
Same Time system console, the Same Time proxy server, and a Same Time community server.
Community server. Okay. Is this something I can download off of the Passport Advantage?
I believe so. Is there anyone else on the call who can speak to that directly?
Yes. So all the tools you need and all the software you need to install are available from Passport Advantage. And I believe that we can probably help you find a couple of links to some presentations on enabling mobile devices. It's up in our info center, as well as some presentations that were done on previous open mics. So let's take that offline for now.
This is a little bit off topic. So we'll provide some information in the webcast document for this. This open mic, but we do want to keep it on topic, and we want to give Jeff time to do his demo. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Not at this time, sir.
All right.
Jeff, let me interrupt one question. There was a question from Andrew on the chat wondering about the resource requirements are for the tool. That might be a good one for you to cover here.
Yes, this does require, this is a Windows tool. It is a 64-bit tool, so you will need a 64-bit OS. And we currently require 4 gigabytes of RAM for this tool. Due to the size of some of the log files, that is why we have a high RAM requirement. The tool will use, and it uses only what is necessary, but it is can go up to 4 gigabytes if you're pushing large files in its direction, and that's why we have that. Andrew, I hope that answered your question. I'm going to stop sharing here, and I'm going to be switching to an app. All right, I hope everyone is seeing the tool now. This is what the tool looks like when it comes up and is available. Apparently, I accidentally closed my update notification here that there was an update available. What I want to do quickly here, this is what you will see when you download the install and install. Now, the very first thing the tool is going to come up and tell you within 1 to 2 minutes of starting the application is that there's an update available. Well, what I'm going to do is quickly demonstrate how to update from the update site that you can download. It's a very simple process. You come to Windows, Preferences, Install Update, Available Software Sites. This is the normal update site that we can use for pulling from. What we need to do is actually add a new one, and it's an archive, since it's a zip file. And I have located this. I have placed my serviceability site zip here, and I will just say, give it a name of update site. Now, since I now have it in here, I don't need to add it again. In the future, I have placed the serviceability site.zip file into my serviceability directory where I've installed the app. In the future, as long as when a new update is available, if I go grab it and copy it over top of the existing copy, I will be won't need to change this here. It'll just be able to update. What I will get, you will get, is then you can see down here where it says updates available. What I'm going to do is uncheck this, so I'll install from my updates zip. Click on this, and you can see here it says available updates, and you can see it's going to update my version to 9.0.0. And then it's going to have the date from this particular build. It's going to quickly zip through here, accept the license terms, and say finish, and restart the tool. This is a different version of the tool. Let me start sharing again. Updating the tool does require it to restart, and that unfortunately closed my share, so let me get the share started. Now you should be seeing my share again. Let me spin this out a little for you. I actually went ahead and populated this with some servers. Let me quickly give you a quick tour here. This first tab here is known as the workspace. This is where you will add in servers, whether it's LDAP, DB2, WebSphere, Domino, or a same-time community server. You'll add those in here. And from there, you're able to attach on diagnostic information, configuration information. Here is the quick tool, and by dragging files onto these various buttons here, you're able to do quick log analysis, view the logs, or WebSphere configuration analysis. There's a support bot, and we will be shown doing a video that we'll post to the Greenhouse community that will demonstrate that further. Let me jump back here to the workspace. As you can see here, I have three servers set up. Advanced, this is the advancedrenovations.com server. This is the chatrenovations.com server, and Blue Pages, our LDAP server. I'm going to very quickly here add a new server, and this is going to be the same time. Give the name, same time, and this is a WebSphere-based server. This is sametime.renovations.com. A platform, memory, and processors. It's available on the system. Whether it's a 64-bit OS, and we'll go ahead and click Finish. You can see here we've now added the server, and we have under it where we can attach in configuration and diagnostics. I'm going to quickly attach in a WebSphere configuration file here, and you can see here where it's attached that. Now, the very cool thing is the way the workspace works is when you attach in a file, it maintains its own local copy. It will copy your file to its local workspace, but it also maintains a link back to where you originally pointed to the file. Something I have discussed with some customers that they can do and some customers have done is they like to run a WebSphere configuration backup nightly to do a backup from a live server, so that configuration backup file is generated nightly. They have a task in place that generates it and names it to a specific file. Their serviceability tool points to it and will be updated then automatically with that new version. Whenever they start the tool, it will look out and see that there's a new version and we'll use it. Where this comes in helpful is if you're an admin, you can have your tool update. There is a button right here where you can tell it to update the workspace files and it will copy in all the latest versions of the files. The zip I added, you ask, is a configuration backup from WebSphere. This is how WebSphere generates a zip file. It contains property files, XML files, that contains your WebSphere backup from that server. You pull that information in, which is what we use for analyzing the information here. But with the workspace, you're able to, if you're on a laptop, close up your laptop, go home, and you can actually review this data offline from your servers at home without having to pull down large files over your network. So what I'm going to quickly do here is just going to tell it to run an invalidation on this workspace we have in place. I'm going to click Validate, and you can see here we have a number of validation routines that are available. Everything, we have some basic comparisons, range validations that we do, community, configuration values, environment summary, checking the HTTP only flag, LDAP server, you can read through here. You can see we have a large number of those. Just going to say okay. Have a nice little thing here that comes up and tells us what all we're doing. I'm going to click for this to run in the background here.
Jeff, while that's running, there's a question in the chat to describe what is exactly in the zip that you just added.
Hey, the zip I added is a web I'm sorry?
And how that was obtained.
As Khalid has actually added in from the from your SSC machine. Now, what I generally recommend is for your environment, whenever you add a server, you should add it to your workspace and collect a new configuration backup. You definitely need a configuration backup from your deployment manager. It is also a good idea to do configuration backups at least periodically from your additional nodes you've installed so that you can take that information and plug it in here for the different servers. And the tool has one of the validation routines that will check to make sure the information is in sync with the deployment manager. But as Khalid has indicated, you run the command backup config.bat with the flag -nostop. And this is how you can collect your configuration information without bringing down your server. Other pieces of information that we collect are the notes INI, same time INI file. And actually, just let me expand this out here. You can see here we have same time INI, notes INI. And you'll see here we have what's called da.nsf.txt, and names.nsf.txt, and stconfig.nsf.txt. We do take the stconfig.nsf or names.nsf and da.nsf, and you copy those over or pull those down from your server. And what we do is we actually have a special notes database that when you go to add a domino structured text file, you will open up this template within your notes client, so that you can actually export an NSF file into a structured text file. Currently, we're not able to read the Domino database or NSF files directly, so we created this method here of exporting them out as text files in a structured format. Yes, we are part of what we currently do analyze the STAV config. It's part of the WebSphere configuration backup. We have with the Video MCU and Video Manager, that's an area where we're continuing to expand, and it's one of the key areas we're going to be focusing on in the coming weeks to improve the Video MCU and Video Manager validation routines. We do fully support the media environment in 8.5.2.1, and we have some areas we want to improve upon within same time 9 with the Video MCU and Video Manager. So my validation is now run. One thing to here you'll see under report listing, I have two reports listed. You can see one is the same time environment summary and one is the configuration report. This is the configuration report here in the BERT viewer. You can see here we can see meeting server LDAP tune-up. And you can see here we're just flagging this warning you saying we have seen it. This is a...
Did we lose Jeff on audio?
I think Jeff dropped.
Excuse me, we did lose Mr. Miller's line. I'll get him back online as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Laurel. In the meantime, has anybody seen anything in the chat that we want to talk through while we have a few minutes? Anything? Tony, I've seen you answering some questions. Maybe you need to, anything you want to expand on while he's trying to get back on the phone?
Right. Just to clarify a little bit about the backup configuration that's being used here is there's a couple of different trains of thought, right? The deployment manager itself holds the entire configuration for all cell members, for all the nodes that are out there. So when I generally go for a backup config, I'm going to pull it from the deployment manager. Now, you can pull it, and from a system console, from a same-time system console environment, that's always going to be from the system console server itself in the STSC DMGR profile. Now, if you think you're having an issue with synchronization or you just want to validate a specific node's configuration, you can go to any individual node or any individual profile and run the same command. Just keep in mind that if you take it from a node profile that's not the deployment manager, it won't give us the entire picture for the entire cell. Because there are a few pieces of the deployment that may be running on unmanaged nodes like capture renderer servers that are in farm mode as part of a cluster, or the video manager components, then those would be ones you'd run from their direct servers to add into the configuration here. While Jeff joins, what you can see here, what he has up in front here is talking about the meeting LDAP tune-up. Part of the configuration, of course, goes through and compares the configuration as it sits in WebSphere with our known tuning guidelines. So here's some cases here where we're saying that we've noticed that you don't have it configured yet to what we recommend from a tuning perspective. Now, of course, tuning on any server is a little bit of best practices from what we found for what we think you need and what you think you're going to need based on your deployment. So these are always going to be more of a warning, more of an informational thing for you to go from. I believe Jeff has rejoined the call, so I'll let him continue.
Oh, you were doing so well, Tony. So as Tony was saying, here in the meeting server LDAP tune-up, we do flag when we find things that we, and you can see here, this is where we're calling warning. And as I said earlier, this is a situation where we say, this is not as we expected. We're asking you to take a look. And this is in the tuning area. And so as we said, as Tony was saying, maybe with your deployment, you need this tuning as you currently have it is fine. Maybe you do need to, or if you're having problems, and you see that in this area that something has not been tuned and we are flagging it, then maybe it is a signal that maybe you do need to make a tuning adjustment here. To move on down through some of the other areas we do here, here's ST Resolve tune-up. The same situation. You can see here we're saying we're detecting the default value, that no adjustment's been made. So again, we're just flagging it. Doesn't mean that there's a problem, but it is just to signal to you. For those of you with this current workspace, with the servers we have here, there's only one community chat server. But in the case when there is multiple community chat servers, one of the areas that we have run into is what is called community mesh, and we have a validation routine that checks the names, their address book from each one of those chat servers to make sure that they properly know about each other chat server so that we can have a proper community mesh. Here's where we check some things on community processes to make sure that values are as expected. You can see here we are giving these the green checks indicating that we are acceptable and we are within the range of what we want. You can see here deployment manager synchronization has come out and said, look, security XML, virtual host, and WimConfig are out of sync. Now, that's part of the reason why I've chosen this particular set of configuration files, is I know that they're out of sync, and you can see how this flags it and flags that there are specific files and tells you that there's 8 entries that are out of sync. Coming on down, you can see here we've checked LDAP, and if you look here, we tried to validate these attributes against a live server. Now, not all the servers are up and not the full configuration for LDAP is in, so we weren't able to go in and properly validate these attributes against the LDAP server. So this flags one of two things. One, either you don't have your LDAP server configured correctly within your workspace environment here, or that attribute is not available from your LDAP server, which could point towards an issue with resolving names and being able to identify problems within your environment. Going on down, you can see here we're checking the LDAP settings. You can see here we are nice and consistent across the server address, the server port, which is what we want to see. The LDAP server, you can see that LDAP service and same time are not running together. You know, as we find new issues within support, we try to add things in wherever we're capable. In this particular here, you can see that while there's a media server installed, that is part of the advanced server here, and that file was not present. And you can see here we're flagging that is not available. The conference manager here, we were able to pull that the other server is not available on there, missing the conference server host and our port. This is not a good set to actually demonstrate the media components on. But you can see here, we go through and we flag out these different areas. You can see here where we come into the same timeline, and there's settings that are missing that we expect to find, and they're not there. And we do come out and we do identify the different servers that we expect that we have found in the network settings, WebSSO settings. So these are kind of the things that we have available that we can check in the webs here. And yes, this does supersede to the same time configuration validator. This is a new instance of it. This is when the same time configuration validator was released. It was just the same time configuration validator. Since then, we've been able to package it up with other components that we use that we thought would be valuable to customers and release the entire capabilities. You can see here we have a number. You can see here we also check the webs here if iFixes are present. We have a thing here for checking white space. Now, I'm going to quickly show you the same time environment summary. This is a page that is very helpful for you when you do need to create a PMR to submit to same time, because when we get this, it allows us to very quickly look through and identify pieces of information on your environment. One of the nice things is we actually do have a table of contents, so we can come over here and quickly jump through, and let's look at the cell summary. And we can quickly jump to that section and look through, and we can see the various information here. Now, one of the nice things you can do is you can come up here and say export report. And when you export the report, you have multiple formats you can export it in. I highly recommend PDF. These reports don't really come out great in Word or PowerPoint under the different others. This is a feature that we picked up through using the BERT report viewer, so we don't have direct control of how the export happens, but the PDF is the best way to export your report out. You simply say okay, and here in a minute, voila, you can save off your file or open it. And it's just it's going to look identical to what you see here with its own table of contents. I'm going to cancel that here at the moment. But you have that ability. Now, that's on the configuration side. I'm going to very quickly kind of show you some of the stuff we can do on the diagnostics, and then we'll take some questions. As you can see here, I've gotten some diagnostics attached here. This is specifically Community Server ST Resolve. Now, when you attach a log file in, you attach it under diagnostics, and you can come in here. You can view it, or you can analyze it. If you really want to start looking through a diagnostic, you can look at viewing. Personally, I highly recommend you to look at the analyze. I'm going to click that, and you can see here we have same time analysis, basic analysis, the message reports, and the web seer analysis that we're able to generate. And we'll say OK. Actually, while that's going on, I am actually going to go ahead and attach a different diagnostic log. And you can see that I can do some things while these things are running, because they do take a little bit of time. And one of the things, if you look here, what I've attached in here is these are going to be ones that will show you a nice little WebSphere messaging identification and some CPU contention issues we found there when we look at those. And this does take a minute, unfortunately. So these are the kind of things that you both L2 and L3 and dev do. We are looking at your files when you submit it. So when you're able to take this information and provide us, whether it's an environment summary, or in some cases, if you have a very complicated environment, instead of necessarily creating an environment summary, you can come up here and say export. And you can actually export your workspace, which takes all of your servers, takes all of your files, and creates one file that you're able to submit to support. And so that we can take and then import into our tool. And then we would have your entire workspace to be able to review and analyze the issues you're having. That's extremely helpful for us at times. We do recommend it, particularly in more complex environments, if you've kept your workspace up to date. Now, we did an analysis of the ST Resolve. So there is no, that's a community server. So when you look at the WebSphere analysis portion here, there is nothing to show. right off, it tells you this chart shows no, has no data. I'm going to switch over to basic analysis. And you can look here, we have, this is where patterns are reported. Now, at the moment, this looks extremely boring. There's not much being reported here that I can look at, because there's not much here out of this log file. But if I come down here to same-time analysis, now this is an ST-resolve file, so we're not going to have a lot of information from other things. But what I'm going to do is jump down here and see. And you can see here, this is an ST-resolve delay. So what kind of delays have we had? And you can see here, oh, for the most part, looks like we've had very little delay in our ST-resolve request. This is looking really good. But if you do look up here, we have this one little guy that took a long time. And we're not, you know, what happened in that? And that's a cue that there was one resolve that had a problem. And that, you know, we can know, go look for a particular resolve on that. Then we have, like here, ST resolve request per minute. You can see here where we can very quickly chart out, and let me make this a little bit bigger. We can chart out here so we can see the number of resolve requests per minute coming in. And you can see here that as the time progressed, we started getting more and more requests per minute than what we had been seeing previously. And we mapped that out. Now, what you see in these reports are all based on what is enabled in the diagnostics. The more diagnostics enabled, the more you will see in these reports. Now, I'm going to just do a quick clear out my reports here. And I'm going to come back and say, click on these to tell it to analyze all of my messages here. And say OK. These are smaller files, so they take much less time to review. Oh, so let's look here at our Webster analysis. Oh, we have CPU starvation. And we can see here the amount of starvation that occurred, at what times, and we're able to look across and see when that has happened. I'm going to pull up the basic analysis. And we can see here, here's our error reports. We can see various errors that have occurred. And you can see here, we provide as much information as we're able to on each of those messages. And let me jump down through here. And we do have a thread hang. This is very special. It provides information specifically for us to review to try to determine if a thread is hung. Here's our pattern analysis. We can see here we've got an illegal state exception, the servlet error. And an explanation is the error exception logged for a servlet by use of the servlet context. The action is review the exception to determine the cause of the error, and the action required additional information for, may be available in the server logs. And you can see we have CPU starvation detected. Action thread scheduling delays can be from different causes. These are the kinds of information we provide out on the message codes that we find. And so all of these are in here so that you can provide you as much additional information as we can. And if you come to the new message log, and there are a couple changes that's going to be going to the message log here before this is released on Friday. But you can see here we've identified all the messages from these logs. And so you're very quickly able to come to this one spot and see all of those and know if there's something you need to do or need to check. And you can see here CPU starvation. And you can see here a user authenticated as blank has attempted to access a session owned by someone else. And there's no user action required. It's just an exception that occurred, but it allows you to know about it and know that there's no action you need to do. And with that, and with 8 minutes left, I am going to stop and open this up to message or for questions at this time.
We do have a question already from Vlasov. Your line is open.
Yeah, just one quick question. On the IBM wiki side, there are some basic diagnostic and troubleshooting tools or information provided. Can IBM put some more effort into probably providing with some troubleshooting guides and design guides?
Well, you're talking about from the message codes. Yes, there are places where we do provide links out to additional information on those. As we go on, as we add more and more patterns, we are going to be adding in additional pieces there to help on those specific things. And for instance, well, I don't have it here now. When we ran the configuration analysis, the tune-up, we actually had a HTTP address in there telling you where to go to get additional information for that tuning.
Right. Sometimes you get an error, for example, and you look up an IBM site, and then all you get the explanation is, please contact your administrator. That's the only explanation available for those codes.
Well, I hope that with these error codes, as much information as we have available on the public website is what we're pointing to. We are going to do our best to make sure we don't point to something. I don't want to have a code in here that points you to something on a website that says contact your administrator. If it's not going to provide more relevant information than that, because you're the administrator that's going to be looking at this. You're not going to be the end user. So we want you to be able to get the most relevant information. Maybe that's a tech note. Maybe that's some page on our wiki. That is something as we add in new patterns and new things into this, we're going to be trying to point you to the most relevant information, not just go contact the administrator.
Okay.
And with the same time support bot, where we're providing a very basic set of troubleshooting and problem reporting information in there. The goal is for you as the administrator to be able to use a support bot in the editor that we have planned to create so that you can modify the responses and questions asked back to your users yourself so that you can determine what you point them to and what you tell them. We're not going to try to come out with a comprehensive solution for that, but it's for you to be able to either collect the information you want or to be able to provide whatever level of troubleshooting you want them to be able to have.
Okay. One more question. Can IBM put some effort into providing these wikis in PDF format so one can download if it does not have some internet access and is at a customer site or something?
Downloading.
The deployment guide, for example, or installation guide or troubleshooting guide. Right now, they're all wikis.
That is something I'm not for sure. I'm not on the technical documenting for that, but that is something we can make note of and bring back.
And I have no further questions.
If we don't have any other questions on the phone, are there any questions in the chat that we wanted to expand on, or do any of the panelists want to bring anything up that they wanted to expand on from the chat?
Well, so this is Tony Payne. I just wanted to bring up, so as we're talking about log analysis, it is very, I want to caution folks that when they go out and start using the log analysis tool that they don't overreact to things that may be considered normal. As we try to add patterns, we're also going to try to add thresholds. A few LTPA errors is normal. If every LTPA is failing, that's a problem. So you kind of got to look at these a little bit with the idea of, am I troubleshooting a problem or am I looking for a problem to solve? Because there's many exceptions and things that generally that happen that are a normal course of business. So kind of look at that with a little bit of caution. And then when you jump into that, keep in mind that there are a few things that are always problems, and we as part of the support team are going to try to flag those as the ones to look at. CPU starvation is a fantastic thing to not have. But as soon as it's in the logs, it indicates that something went wrong at a core level that could be causing system instability. So just keep that in mind as you're going through log analysis, that it's a great tool. Looking at logs is great, but most of the problems in the logs are not necessarily a problem just because it says the word exception.
All right, well, I think we're getting a little close to the top of the hour, so I think we could probably wrap, unless anybody's got anything else that they wanted to mention before we wrap. Nope. Okay, well then, I definitely want to thank Jeff, Tony for jumping in with the phone, all the panelists on today's call. Within the next few days, a recording of this event will be attached to TechNote 704-2929, along with the slides that are already posted there. I want to thank you for your time today, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.